This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the dollar weakens as President Trump weighs in on monetary policy.
The president also accuses China and the EU of currency manipulation.
The world's largest miner weighs in on trade.
And suppliers voice concerns about Tesla, calling the company a financial risk to their firms.
Microsoft says Russian cyber attackers are again targeting U.S. political groups. Plus, Supreme Court nominee Kavanaugh has an important meeting with a Republican senator. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, the Giants and Mets kick it around at Citi Field in extra innings, and Monday Night Football is back.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global equities are gaining while the dollar is weaker. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures higher up 3 points. Dow futures up 45. NASDAQ futures up about 12. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. The CAC in Paris up 0.6%. FTSE 100, a little change. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. Yield 2.83%. Yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 31 cents to $66.74 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6%. Up $7.40 to $12.02 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1533. Bob.
And Karen, the euro is stronger amid dollar weakness as President Trump weighs in on monetary policy. Sources tell us he's been complaining about Fed Chairman Jay Powell raising interest rates. Bloomberg's Saleha Mohsin says the president's frustration is also evident in remarks from his staff.
We are seeing almost a coordinated effort coming from Trump himself and some of his advisors and loyalists who worked for the campaign. Every time the Fed makes a decision, if they're hinting at higher rates, you see more tweets and comments.
Mr. Trump's complaints about Fed policy came in remarks to wealthy Republican donors at a Hamptons fundraiser on Friday.
Still no more, a rate strategist Andrew Ticehurst expects the Fed to stay on its current path.
We think the Fed's on track to deliver a good number of hikes more over the next 12, 18 months, and we think the Fed will stick to their guns and stick to their game plan.
The Federal Reserve has raised interest rates 5 times since President Trump took office.
And the president is also accusing China and the European Union of currency manipulation. Bloomberg senior editor Jody Schneider explains.
He didn't give substantiation or any real examples of how this was being done, yet it's coming at a time of China sending over a delegation in trade talks. So this would be kind of in keeping with President Trump's style of trying to keep everybody a little off base, and maybe he thinks that throwing out a currency manipulation criticism could benefit him in those talks.
Mr. Trump's accusation of currency manipulation came in an interview with Reuters and conflicts with the findings of his own administration.
In that interview, President Trump also reiterated that he will not make any concessions in a standoff with Turkey until the country releases detained pastor Andrew Brunson. The Turkish lira is weaker once again this morning. It is trading at 6.1293 per dollar.
After U.S. stocks flirted with record highs yesterday, equities in Asia posted strong gains. In today's session, Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
Chinese stocks led gains in the region, with the CSI 300 rising 1.8% on speculation the national team had stepped in to support the equity market ahead of low-level trade talks later this week. It was the best back-to-back win for Chinese stocks in 4 weeks. Japanese markets closed mixed, the TOPIX down by 0.4%, but the Nikkei 225 was marginally higher. The Aussie dollar recovered after earlier slumping on a leadership challenge to Prime Minister Turnbull. The ASX fell by almost 1%. In Sydney after touching a 10.5-year high on Monday. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. The head of the world's largest miner says the U.S. will lose from its trade war. BHP Billiton CEO Andrew McKenzie sees China stepping up exports with other countries as the U.S. pushes protectionist policies.
We're not seeing any slowdown in China, perhaps a little bit in copper, but other than that, everything is going well. You know, obviously the concerns that we have looking forward is that if this protectionism does take hold, it will have a dampening effect on the global economy.
BHP Billiton today paid out a record dividend as profits hit a four-year high and said it will return the bulk of $11 billion in asset sales to investors.
Still, shares of BHP are down more than 1% in London. Bloomberg's Will Kennedy has more.
The headline numbers were very good. However, a lot of people are probably focused on the cost profile after years and years of really bearing down on costs among the big miners, which have really helped them weather a period of lower commodity prices. Those costs now seem to be starting to creep up.
Well, BHP's annual dividend rose 42%. Goldman Sachs analysts say that figure could have gone higher.
The focus on Tesla and CEO Elon Musk shows no signs of slowing. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. The Wall Street Journal reports some Tesla suppliers are concerned about getting paid, and small suppliers have claimed they failed to get paid for services supplied to Tesla over the past several months. A survey sent by an automotive supplier to top industry executives found 18 of 22 respondents believe Tesla was a financial risk to their companies. Meantime, one of Tesla's most outspoken bulls, Ross Gerber of fund manager Gerber Kawasaki, thinks somebody should ride to the rescue of Tesla and Elon Musk.
This guy is the Howard Hughes of our time. I want to invest with Elon. He needs help. I think there's no doubt he needs help.
When asked who he'd want to help Musk, Gerber said Apple CEO Tim Cook would fit the bill. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Bob.
Thank you, John. Sources tell Bloomberg that Apple will release a new low-cost laptop and Mac Mini desktop later this year as it rolls out several new products this fall. Mark Gurman has details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
They're going to be hitting several different markets, several different product categories over the next several months, including new versions of the Apple Watch with edge-to-edge larger screens, three new iPhones, obviously these Macs and iPads. So it's all part of this bigger new product rollout strategy for 2018.
The new laptop and Mac Mini come after Apple reported the fewest Mac sales last quarter since 2010.
Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures up 43. And NASDAQ futures are up 13. But NYMEX crude oil also rising up 0.5%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. A new political cyber attack. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that story and more. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Microsoft disclosed a new effort by a group of cyber attackers linked to the Russian government to target American groups, including those affiliated with the Republican Party, ahead of the U.S. midterm elections. The president of Microsoft says the shadowy group known as Strontium created 6 web domains that mimicked organizations such as the International Republican Institute and were intended to mask attacks. Russia is accused of trying to sway the vote in 2016 through disinformation campaigns and targeted hacking. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh sits down for a meeting with Republican Senator Susan Collins, who plans to ask him about abortion and other topics. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has survived a confidence vote within his party. Ed Baxter is in the Bloomberg 960 San Francisco newsroom.
Aussies woke up wondering if Malcolm Turnbull would be their PM later in the day, and the answer is yes. He vacated his leadership, calling for a new vote, which Bloomberg's Paul Allen says he won, but Paul says it won't be the end of the leadership discussion.
Now, that may sound like a pretty good victory, 48-35, but you've got to remember this is a binary choice. So if you took just 7 votes out of Malcolm Turnbull's column and put them into Peter Dutton's column, we'd have a new prime minister right now.
Next month, Mr. Turnbull will be Australia's longest-serving prime minister since John Howard lost power in 2007, after 11 years in office. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brexit talks continue their slow resumption after a summer break today with a meeting between the two chief negotiators. Bloomberg's Ian Wishart is in London.
UK Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab and the EU's chief negotiator Michel Barnier hold talks in Brussels. Discussions between their two teams on the post-Brexit UK-EU relationship and on the remaining issues related to the UK's departure from the bloc take place today and tomorrow. Both sides know time is running out. They want to get a deal by the end of October. In London, Ian Wishart, Bloomberg Daybreak.
First Lady Melania Trump says she will make a solo trip to Africa later this year to deal with issues facing children throughout the continent. Yesterday, the First Lady hosted an anti-bullying event in Rockville, Maryland, and brought up social media.
Let's face it. Most children are more aware of the benefits and pitfalls of social media than some adults.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street, your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update from Rob Buschka. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. With the Yankees off Monday, the Mets had center stage to impress New Yorkers, but it wasn't to be as the Giants took game one of the series 2-1 in 13 innings at Citi Field. Five errors in all, nearly twice as many as runs scored, including in the 13th inning. We saw a walk, pickoff move go awry, a wild pitch, and a dropped play on a collision in left field involving Dominic Smith, Mets manager Mickey Callaway.
Oh, I mean, it's an experience. He hasn't done that often, and you know he'll get better at it. I think that's one of the reasons we're trying to get him reps when he was in AAA and left. And you know, I think that he's got a learning curve that he's got to go through to play left field the way that he's capable of playing it.
The win ended the Giants' four-game skid. Series continues tonight. Chris Stratton faces Steven Matz. Yankees visit the captain, Derek Jeter's Miami Marlins at 7:10. Masahiro Tanaka battles Pablo Lopez. Monday Night Football is back, and so is a good old-fashioned quarterback controversy in Baltimore as the Ravens rally to beat the Colts 20-19 in Indianapolis. Joe Flacco was 7 of 9, but newcomer and former Heisman winner Lamar Jackson completed 7 passes and a touchdown. His coach, John Harbaugh.
Well, that's the great thing about Lamar. I mean, he's confident, you know, and he's going to keep competing, and he's always going to believe that he can make the play to turn the game. And he did a great job. And we just keep working, you know, keep getting better in all the little areas. And there's no question in my mind that he's got a great future.
RG3, another Heisman winner, was 6 of 8. The backup to Joe Flacco is still up in the air. And Adrian Peterson's back in the league, signs a one-year deal with the Redskins for the veterans minimum, just over $1 million. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Buschka, thanks very much. California now has a new official sport, surfing. State officials made the announcement yesterday while acknowledging that surfing actually came from Hawaii. S&P futures up 3 points. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime, New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar is dropping and treasuries edging lower after President Trump criticized Federal Reserve interest rate hikes. European stocks are drifting higher with U.S. stock index futures tracking gains for most Asian shares. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are up about 4 points. Dow futures up 46. NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. CAC in Paris up about 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.83%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 27 cents to $66.70 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5%, up $6.40 to $12.01 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1528. The yen 110.23. And today we are watching for earnings from companies including Kohl's and TJX companies. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The White House says a 95-year-old former Nazi concentration camp guard has been deported to Germany 14 years after a judge ordered his expulsion. In a statement, the White House said the deportation of Jack Pauley, who lived in New York City, was carried out early today. The jury in Paul Manafort's tax and bank fraud trial enters its fourth day of deliberations today. The controversial Silent Sam Confederate statue on the campus of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, has been toppled by protesters. In baseball, the Mets lost to the Giants in 13 innings 2-1. The Yankees were off. The Red Sox lost, along with the Orioles. The A's won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. Now 5:19 on Wall Street. So we've watched the dollar drop and Treasury's edge lower after President Donald Trump criticized Federal Reserve interest rate hikes. Jeremy Stretch is head of G10 FX Strategy for Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, and he's joining us now in London. Good morning and welcome, Jeremy. The first time this happened, we called the president's comments on the Fed highly unusual. Seems to be getting less unusual. Is this a new factor that investors need to be on guard for?
Well, I think it probably is, Bob, to be quite honest. I mean, as you say, it's not the first time that we've heard these comments, and there were some rumours regarding similar statements being made at the back end of last week, but obviously that that Reuters interview has really given further grist to the mill of these concerns that the White House clearly has in the context of Fed policy, and it has hit the dollar relatively hard. And certainly when you overlay the comments also with those from Bostic yesterday from the Fed, who was talking about only one more rate hike this year, it has made the market just think a little more carefully about what should be priced into the interest rate strip. And of course, the market had been presuming that obviously the Fed were on a path of continued but gradual tightening, and that's been very much factored into the dollar's performance. If you start to question that just a little bit, then that takes a little bit of impetus out of the dollar. And at the same time, I think we've had a scenario where some of the other currencies have been a little bit oversold, the euro, for example. So it has encouraged an unwinding of what were some fairly excessive broad-based long dollar positions.
Now, you say that it makes investors think a little more carefully. Does it also feed into global volatility?
Well, in that context, yes, it probably does. So in a sense, you could argue that obviously volatility has been remarkably low over the course of the last 10 years. If we go all the way back to almost the anniversary of the Lehman failure, for example, we have seen remarkably low levels of broader volatility as central banks have really kept a lid on that via the ultra-low monetary policy, but also the significant degree of liquidity injection. Now, of course, we're in a process of gradually unwinding that that liquidity. And we are now getting to a scenario where investors are having to think a little more carefully as to the policy platforms, and as we are getting towards a turn in rate cycles in a number of markets, then that is leaving markets and investors to have to look a little more carefully at their investor decisions and their time horizons.
What do you think President Trump's motivation is for comments like these?
Well, of course, one always has to be careful about sort of getting into the mind of somebody else. But in the context of a politician, then you have to be always mindful, although, of course, he would argue he's not necessarily a politician per se. But there is that upcoming midterm election cycle to consider. And, of course, it is very much the case that the Fed was always at risk of being the potential pressure point were there to be any tensions in terms of the economic environment going forward, because it's an obvious scenario where you want to create somebody who can be used as a sort of a critical offset to any pressure in terms of the policy outlook. So I think it's a case that the Fed are being seen as a means to an end to underline the fact that if the momentum in the second quarter of the economy cannot be maintained, and I think there's a significant degree of doubt as to whether it can, then the president is clearly setting the Fed and Mr. Powell up as a critical point to offset that.
You've apparently got the president naming the Fed chair when he complains, saying Jerome Powell hasn't proved to be a cheap money Fed chairman. Do you think this is going to really sway the Fed at all?
No, I think not. I think it is very much the case that the members of the Fed will obviously not be impervious to a degree of criticism, but I don't think necessarily that will have an immediate or significant impact in terms of their policy decision process. It's fascinating, of course, that these comments have come to light this week, because, of course, we do get the Fed symposium at Jackson Hole later in the week, so there is an opportunity, should Mr. Powell wish it to be utilized as such, as an opportunity for him to just have a gentle but notable pushback against political criticism, because, of course, a central bank and or independent central banks globally are very much geared around the prospect of having a policy target which they aim to achieve and act outside of the realms of the political sphere. And I suspect that the Fed will do their level best to maintain that that scenario.
Just a few seconds, very quickly. How many more rate increases this year?
I think it is. It is likely that the Fed will continue to push on with the path of a steady and gradual rate hike. So, still looking for two more hikes this year. But as I say, Mr. Bostic's coming, allied to the external factors, may just make investors a little less mindful, or a little more mindful of just questioning as to whether that pace of tightening will be maintained both this year and into next year.
Jeremy Stretch is head of G10 FX strategy for Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce. Thanks very much for your insights. S&P futures up by 4 points. The 10-year yield at 2.8352%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898. New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 5:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European equities are higher. The dollar is weaker after President Trump criticized the Federal Reserve for hiking interest rates. Sources tell us he's been complaining that Jay Powell isn't the cheap money Fed chairman he had hoped for.
The president is also accusing China and the European Union of currency manipulation. Comments from an interview with Reuters come as trade negotiations with both China and the EU are set to resume this week.
In China, the Shanghai Composite rose 1.3% today to post its biggest two-day advance in 4 weeks. Bloomberg News has learned that the move higher came after state-backed funds stepped in to buy shares.
Here in the U.S., retail takes focus on today's earnings schedule with results from Kohl's and TJX, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports.
Kohl's likely got a sales boost from warmer temperatures and a calendar shift. TJX is seen delivering positive results thanks to a pickup in momentum at Home Goods, which has sold down excess inventory. Forecasts are for Kohl's to post an adjusted profit of $1.64 a share on revenue topping $4.25 billion. Analysts are looking for a profit of $1.05 a share from TJX, with revenue coming in just under $9 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. BHP Billiton is reporting profit at a four-year high. The world's largest miner will pay out a record dividend and return the bulk of $11 billion in asset sales to investors. At the same time, BHP said production costs will increase. Shares are lower by 1% in London.
And some Tesla suppliers reportedly are concerned about getting paid, saying the automaker is a financial risk to their companies. According to the Wall Street Journal, Tesla has tried to stretch out payments to several suppliers or ask them for significant cash back. Still, shares of Tesla are up more than 1% in early trading.
Futures are higher. S&P futures is up 5 points. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures up 17. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. So is the CAC in Paris. And the FTSE 100 is now down about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil rising up 0.4% or 26 cents to $66.69 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5%, up $5.90 to $1,200.50 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1522, the yen 110.24, and the Turkish lira down about 0.6% against the dollar at 6.1213. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. Still no verdict for the president's former campaign chairman. The very latest from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. We have several stories to talk about. Entering its fourth day of deliberations, the jury in the tax and bank fraud trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort is still trying to return a verdict. Bloomberg's Martin DeCarroll reports.
The third day of deliberations drew to a close with the jury asking the judge for a little more time to deliberate.
They got it, but it turned out not to be an indication a verdict was imminent. So the jurors will return to court today to continue working through the 18 counts against Paul Manafort. They heard from 27 witnesses, and 388 documents were admitted on such arcane matters as banking and tax laws. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Microsoft says it's discovered new Russian hacking attempts targeting U.S. political groups ahead of the midterm elections. The company said today that a hacking group tied to the Russian government created fake internet domains that appeared to spoof conservative organizations. President Trump will be in West Virginia tonight for a rally. Yesterday, the president held an event at the White House honoring members of ICE and Customs and Border Protection. During the event, Trump called out by name a Texas border agent who arrested a human trafficker attempting to smuggle in 78 undocumented immigrants.
Adrian, come here. I want to ask you a question. So how did you come here? Come here. You're not nervous, right? Speaks perfect English. Come here. I want to ask you about that. 78 lives. You saved 78 people.
The president also reiterated building a border wall. Australia Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull survived a leadership vote today. Bloomberg's Jason Scott in Canberra reports it may be challenged in days among party colleagues about the growing unease concerning the government's slumping poll ratings.
Turnbull defeated Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton by 48 votes to 35 in a ballot of Liberal Party lawmakers in Canberra. While the win hands Turnbull a reprieve, the size of the vote against him shows just how wide the rifts within the government are. Dutton, a former policeman who's become a lightning rod for government lawmakers dismayed by Turnbull's policy direction, resigned from the cabinet following the vote. He remains on the backbench, where he's free to lobby for the extra votes he'd need to take the leadership. In Canberra, Jason Scott, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And along comes Rob Buschka. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The Mets had a case of the Mondays at Citi Field as the Giants dragged them to extra innings. We pick it up in the unlucky 13th.
Crawford hits a high pop-up. Shallow left. Rosario is out. And they collide! And the ball drops! And McCutchen scores! And the Giants lead it! Unbelievable! It was Dominic Smith that ran into Rosario, and the ball pops loose.
That's Giants radio as San Francisco takes the first game of the series 2-1 in an inning which featured one hit, a walk, a wild pitch, a throwing error, and a fielding error, and ultimately a Mets loss. New York will send Steven Matz tonight to try and right the ship opposite Chris Stratton. Yankees will see their good friend Derek Jeter tonight as they're in South Beach to play the Marlins at 7:10. Pablo Lopez hosts Masahiro Tanaka. It's week two of the NFL preseason. It drew to a close with an exciting Monday night football game in which both Colts franchises threw down in Indy. Baltimore beat Indianapolis 20-19 after getting solid play from all three quarterbacks, starter Joe Flacco, veteran RG3, and rookie sensation Lamar Jackson. The Colts, Andrew Luck, he's making progress as his comeback continued.
Yeah, I didn't feel like we as an offense gotten any semblance of a rhythm, a sustained rhythm. And so that's tough. That's tough. When you play that way and maybe a little sloppy, then it's tough to come out positive.
Luck was 6 of 13, did have an interception, and was sacked twice. Giants fans have another talented running back to contend with in the NFC East as the Redskins signed Adrian Peterson to a one-year deal. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Rob Buschka, thanks very much. Now 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover story on how Tyson is looking beyond meat to protein grown in labs. Also in this week's issue, how the tide could be turning in Europe's struggle to build a global tech giant. Jeremy Kahn wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Last year had a record level of venture capital funding at $19 billion U.S. dollars. And while that's still a lot less than the U.S., it is a record for Europe. It's four times as much as was available just 5 years ago.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. Now 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for your Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Morning, Bob. New York City has once again asked a judge to order Airbnb to comply with a subpoena for information about its listings. Officials claim the home sharing company is skirting a law that makes it illegal for most landlords to rent an apartment for less than 30 days. The New Jersey Board of Public Utilities has chosen Ramboll, a Denmark-based global engineering design and consulting company, to coordinate development of the state's offshore wind strategic plan. The governor's office has set a goal of generating 3,500 megawatts of offshore wind capacity by 2030. Well, in the months since Seven Stars Cloud announced plans to build its global tech headquarters in West Hartford, the once little-known financial tech company has landed its first big clients. The Current says the company has landed a new account with China's biggest operator of electric buses. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thanks very much. Now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Nearly two-thirds of oil and gas producers raised forecasts for their drilling budgets.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm talking about late spring, early summer results for TJX.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that 3M has filed a patent infringement lawsuit related to technology involving touch screens.
I'm Naira Chahich on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the UK government's ambition to boost exports by £100 billion per year.
I'm Joan Doniger telling KYW listeners in Philadelphia about some major earnings reports from Urban Outfitters and Toll Brothers.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Apple will release a new low-cost laptop and a professional-focused upgrade to the Mac Mini desktop this year.
Thank you all, and those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures at this hour up 4 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures up 49 points. NASDAQ futures up 15 points. 10-year Treasury prices down for 30 seconds. The yield at 2.8334%.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar is dropping and treasuries are edging lower after President Trump criticized the Federal Reserve interest rate hikes. European stocks are drifting higher with U.S. stock index futures. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 48, NASDAQ futures up 16, the DAX in Germany is up 0.7%, 10-year Treasury down 430 seconds, yield 2.83%, yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 28 cents to $66.71 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% up $5.80 to $1,250.50 an ounce. The euro $1.1517, the yen 110.27. And the Turkish lira is at 6.1388. Today we are watching for earnings from Kohl's and TJX companies. And we're also watching Toll Brothers up more than 12% in early trading after third quarter revenue beat analyst estimates. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the jury in the trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort is still trying to return a verdict. The jury will begin a fourth day of deliberations today. Manafort is accused of lying to secure bank loans and hiding more than $15 million in income from the IRS. President Trump, in a new interview, shared his concerns about a potential interview with the special counsel. Trump told Reuters his White House is a smooth-running machine, except when it comes to the Russia investigation. Trump asserted that he has the power to intervene in the special counsel's probe, saying, "I could run it if I want." In baseball, the Mets lost to the Giants in 13 innings, 2-1. The Yankees were off. The Red Sox lost, along with the Orioles. The A's won. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Appreciate it, Michael. Now 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Jen, good morning. And Shuli Ren is writing that emerging markets may lose their friendly banker in China. China's had a willingness to extend credit that's made it the best friend of emerging markets. How deep have its pockets been?
Well, they've been pretty deep. And it's not just the hosts of President Xi Jinping's Belt and Road Initiative. It's also countries from Argentina and Venezuela to Turkey and Pakistan who would look to Beijing for a lifeline that may be less onerous than an International Monetary Fund bailout. Just to give you an example, in the last decade, China made more than $62 billion worth of loans to Venezuela, where hyperinflation has actually prompted the government to devalue its currency at the weekend.
But Shuli Ren says the era of easy Chinese money may be about to end.
That's right, because she says that China's shaky domestic economy means that it might not be politically viable any longer for Beijing to keep being so generous. One really good example here is China Development Bank. It's a policy bank known for funding overseas projects, but really its main mandate is actually domestic. Less than 3% of its loan book is made to for destinations outside of China. But its lending policies are coming into focus because the government's efforts to rein in the red-hot property market are starting to squeeze approvals for shantytown project loans, and that's going to hurt the real economy. And so if China Development Bank can't fulfill its primary goal of lifting millions of Chinese from poverty, it becomes harder to justify extending a helping hand to other nations.
I wonder, though, how much of this is the trade war and tighter liquidity conditions that are starting to bite.
That's definitely a part of it here. I mean, Ren notes that Chinese consumer confidence has dipped in recent months, and the second quarter earnings report card for tech companies is looking kind of ugly. Private enterprises as well are bearing the brunt as Beijing restricts shadow banking, and the mainland stock market is in solid bear territory. So what will China's citizens say if Beijing is splashing out billions to foster relationships with countries abroad, while at the same time people at home are stuck in ghettos, small businesses are going bankrupt, and no one is feeling rich because of the stock market? So what Ren says is that you can really expect a revolt here. And the bigger picture is that the president is running out of political capital to pursue his grand geopolitical ambitions.
And Andrea Felstead's topic is far-fetched. The luxury IPO timing looks impeccable after more than a year of speculation. Far-fetched is targeting a $5 billion IPO. What makes the timing so good?
Well, there's two things here. For one, its business model is really well placed to capitalize on this structural shift for luxury sales to move on to the internet. And it's something that's been happening for a while for high-end goods, and it shows no signs of abating. But it also helps that luxury has really been riding a wave for the past 2 years. And it's really everything from Gucci handbags to Balenciaga trainers. And it's really just been on fire. And much of that surge has come from China.
Okay, a wave of luxury demand. How long does it last?
Well, Felstead as well looks at the concerns about the Chinese consumer that Ren had highlighted. And, you know, there's this difficulty. If you've got a nervous Chinese consumer, it's hard to see that that's compatible with the continued development and really strong luxury sales.
And Felstead says investors should take care about the investment needs Farfetch is going to have in the future.
That's right, because she says that Farfetch looks like a capital-light way to tap into the mania for online fashion. And this is because the majority of its businesses don't buy any stock. But Felstead's point is that you've really got to be quite careful about this, because there is a lot of expenditure that even these companies have to make to keep up with their digital offering and deliver the quality that their customers expect. And that pressure to spend is going to continue even if the broader luxury market turns down.
So you got to help me out here. What does Farfetch sell?
So it's a digital online boutique. If you look online, you can see that it sells, you know, quite a lot of the big names. You know, the Balenciaga trainers are the hot object that I just mentioned. And they compete with companies such as Yoox Net-a-Porter, which was recently bought by Richemont.
Okay, Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Thanks very much. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing OPIN Go. Karen.
It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Joan Doniger in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Labor Department investigators recently concluded Cisco Systems discriminated against U.S. workers. Sources tell Bloomberg Law the firm favored immigrant visa holders and paid them less. A federal appeals court says autistic customers may proceed with their discrimination suits against Disney theme parks. The plaintiffs say the company's program for disabled guests does not accommodate autistic guests. And mining would be allowed, but the Bureau of Land Management has backed off a plan to sell parts of the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at President Trump saying he allowed White House counsel Donald McGahn to cooperate with the Mueller probe. Plus, the chances of a Trump-Mueller meeting after lead lawyer Rudy Giuliani's comments over the weekend that truth isn't truth when it comes to the Russia investigation. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grosso and Peter Barnes speak with Syracuse University law professor William Banks.
Bill, we've talked before about Rudy Giuliani's misstatements of law and fact, but I don't even know where to go with his statement on the truth isn't the truth.
You know, it's certainly the case that the work that's been done by Don McGahn to testify for, what is it, 30 hours before the Mueller team puts President Trump in an even more difficult position. He's sort of damned if he does agree to an interview, because he may be contradicting some things that McGahn has said. But he's also damned if he doesn't, because then it's McGahn's version of the events that is going to be controlling, more than likely, in Mueller's report eventually.
Well, and I wonder if what he was trying to say there was that there are facts, and that, you know, I don't know if he was trying to make a distinction there and was kind of on the spot, but, you know, there are facts, and then there are people's opinions about what happened around those facts.
That's correct. And, of course, he may have a different interpretation, but it seems unlikely to me now that the president would decline to speak to the independent counsel, given all the record material that McGahn has provided them.
Let's talk about McGahn talking to the special counsel, and a lot was made of it because of the New York Times story. But does he really have a choice about testifying to the independent counsel? I mean, he's representing the White House, not the president.
That's right. He represents the office, and in that respect, he's like any other government employee, so he really didn't have much of a choice. He, or through his counsel, they could have negotiated the terms and conditions of the interview and the subjects that he felt were what's appropriate for them to speak to, and it sounds like he didn't do that, because the approach of the White House at the time, through Mr. Giuliani's predecessors, was to be broadly transparent and open with the special counsel. They would certainly like to walk that back now, but it's too late.
That's Syracuse University law professor William Banks speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso and Peter Barnes. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com. For more information, S&P futures are up 4.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 50. NASDAQ futures up 17. And the 10-year Treasury down 5/32. The yield 2.83%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.